Malachi 4, verses 1 and 2. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Dear fellow redeemed, in 1987, the rock band REM released one of their most famous songs that was called and included this lyric: "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine." Now, the lead singer admitted that most of the song is lyrically chaotic. There's not a lot in there. It has a bunch of different ideas, but that chorus always seems to stand out. It is very recognizable. So listen to those words once again. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Now let's take a step back and look at the prophet Malachi once again and hear these words. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up. Now that is a message that makes one feel decidedly not fine. You see, the day of the Lord is fast approaching. This is a fact that they knew and recognized even back in Old Testament times. Now, let's look at the prophet Malachi there, for example. Now that name literally means "my messenger," so rather this was his name, or if this was just a messenger of the Lord, we're not for sure. But that message of the last day was there, and it was a simple message either way. That message that God spoke through his messenger was that he loved his people who turned from him. And they repeatedly turned from him, and he wanted them to turn back to him in repentance. Now, people like to take the message of the last day and complicate it into all sorts of different ways. They like to talk about the millennium. They want to talk about literal interpretations of things that are not meant to be literal. They like to talk about the rapture. They like to pinpoint dates on the calendar so that they can lord it over people to make them behave themselves. And what does any of these things accomplish? Nothing good. See, they might succeed for a little while in making Pharisees of these people to show their outward acts to the world, but in this way and many other ways, they only seek to lead the people astray. They always seem to forget that the last day will come like a thief in the night. And unless there is recognition of that sin, of their sin, of our sin, and repentance to the one who can actually do something about it, it can only spell out disaster. We're told that the last day is coming and it is burning like an oven. And without repentance, only the eternal fires of hell remain. Now let's look at it from a different angle. It's kind of interesting when we look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 98 when he writes, "Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the earth and the peoples with equity." Now that is a joyful occasion that the psalmist is writing about. The last day is often seen as a day of fire and brimstone for many people, and that is an accurate description, but we must distinguish that message and focus on those last three words: for many people. The message of the last day for those in Christ is one of joy, and it's a simple message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And these most recognizable words illustrate the fate of the world. In Christ, there is life. Apart from Christ, there is not. We are living in the last days right now. Jesus will come on that very last day in all of his glory, and we will see our Lord and Savior on that last day. The living will be there, and those who have died before us will be resurrected from their graves, and everyone will stand in judgment before him. For those that are apart from him, there will be severe judgment, but we are told it is a righteous judgment. But by his sacrifice on the cross, those sins that we have all committed will not be seen by him. He will see that righteousness that he has won for us. It's not going to be that scorching heat that you have from an oven, but it's going to be the warmth of the Sun of Righteousness that believers will feel that day. He will heal their infirmities. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, because all of these things will have passed away. In Christ, there is no fear about those last days that we are living here on the earth. Christ has overcome the world. So yes, it is the end of the world. Sure, we can recognize that. But we can feel more than fine about that message. We can rejoice in it. We can be glad, and we can know that we will be reunited with our Lord and Savior, and that we will be in his presence for all eternity. Amen. We sing hymn 430, verses 1 and 7.